This morning, I would like to share a few thoughts from the Word of God, and then we're going to be praying together as a body. Because the Bible says that the house of the Lord, it's a house of, help me out, the house of the Lord is a house of? It's a house of prayer. And so often, if we're not careful, we can make a house of singing, or we can make a house of preaching, and not the house of prayer. But it's all together, because Jesus walked into the temple and he spoke. Also, people are singing hymns, right? Because Apostle Paul and the disciples, they're encouraging people to sing and to praise him and to sing hymns. But also, the house of the Lord is to be a house of prayer. And I'm afraid that somehow we've lost prayer in the house of God. It almost seems like if you pray and cry out to the Lord, it seems like it's an uncomfortable thing to do. It's something that maybe you can be judged about, or you have to put it all together when you come to the house of the Lord especially, and behave the best, because that's what it's supposed to be. But I'd rather be like that sinner that came to the temple and he was beating himself in the chest and he was crying out to the Lord, "Have mercy upon me, sinner," than the other person that said, "I have it all together. I don't need any help." I'd rather be the other person. Let it be if somebody judges. Let it be if somebody thinks that they have it all together. The house of the Lord should be a place where, out of all the places, we can feel comfortable coming and being ourselves before the Lord and not be misunderstood, judged, or pushed away. And I believe by the grace of God, Times Square Church Summit Campus is that. It's just that, that all of you are welcome to come to the house of the Lord, to sing together, to hear testimonies, and to pray together, because that's what the body of Christ is. There's a passage from the Word of God that I can't shake it away. I read it a while back, and I've been just pondering for a while, and I tried to write another sermon. I tried to go a different direction this morning, but last night, even 4 o'clock this morning, just waking up, and this passage is just, it's just on my heart to share, and we're just going to share this passage. And I believe if there are people this morning here that open your heart to hear what God is saying through his word to us. And the title of my message is, Believing is Better Than Doubting. Believing is better than doubting. Now, is it harder? I think so. Is it easier to doubt? For sure. But it's way better to believe than to find ourselves in a place of doubting. There's a scripture that it says in Matthew 28, verse 17, a portion of, or of 18, a portion of the scripture says this. In the beginning of verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And I want to talk to you about this particular word that a lot of people saw him. A lot of disciples saw him, and there was one group of disciples, or followers of Jesus, that it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him. But the other ones that when they saw him, they doubted. And this has been a scripture that's been so much on my mind and in my heart that I couldn't shake away, but share some of the thoughts with you this morning. Now, if you think about the story that just happened. Disciples were following Jesus. Many of them, they witnessed the miracles of Jesus. Many of them witnessed the power of God being manifested through Jesus Christ. Many healings, many supernatural acts. But more than that, the state of Israel was in a place where they wanted freedom from the Roman Empire. And they were looking forward for the Messiah, because they were anticipating when the true Messiah is going to come, he's going to deliver us from the Roman Empire, from taxation and all of the things that the laws of that time imposed to them, because they believed that they are to be a free nation as the nation of Israel. And Jesus appears. And many of the disciples, they were following Jesus. And even though they're embracing the miracles, even though they're embracing the Word of God in the back of their mind, they're waiting for this moment that they might be picking up swords. They might be picking up other people that inviting them to make maybe a committee or making a party like we have today, right? If you are a certain party, that means that you belong to a certain party and that party will rule over you. And now it comes a moment where Jesus is putting away all the hopes of a party. My brothers, my sister, in this nation, if you're putting a hope in a party, you're mistaken. We are to put a hope in Jesus Christ again, in Jesus Christ. And now the disciples and many followers of Jesus Christ are waiting for that moment, and Jesus is being led to the cross. Jesus is being led to suffer. And they're looking at this picture now of whatever what they thought that following Jesus meant. It's coming after 3 years to a dead end, and a lot of them are running away, and some of them are even denying that they knew Jesus because it was not the picture that they portrayed it in their mind, what Jesus would mean for them. And whenever when the suffering came, whenever when the cross came, whenever when they crucified him to that cross and he died, but the Bible says that also he resurrected. Death could not hold him down. But you see, in some people, death was the end of all. Even some of the disciples, death was the end of the following, of the journey that they were following him. They knew, Jesus told them of the story that he would resurrect. But in their hearts, in their minds, death took the preeminence. Death took that story. They captivated their hearts. And many of the disciples, they said, well, I'm going back fishing. Another says, I'm going with you. Other says, I'm going to deny him and I'm just going to do my own thing. Others scattered because they knew if they're going to associate with Jesus, maybe suffering will come into their home as well. And all of a sudden, in this moment of 3 days, there's so much happening when Jesus died on a cross, and so much happening in the disciples, that whenever when he appears to them as a new body, whenever he appears to them as him being coming out of the death, as being resurrected, the Bible says this in Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And this is when the verse 17 comes. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. But some doubted. And today, I want to stop here for a moment and talk to you about that you might be finding yourself either in a group of when you see him, you worship him as a result, or the picture is so blurry that you don't recognize him being in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of your journey with the Lord, that you doubt that he's even there. You see, some disciples, they followed him to that mountain where he promised them that he's gonna be. And whenever when they saw him, they'd recognize him, they said, it's him. And they began to bow down and they began to worship him. And some of us, we are walking with the Lord for so much time, for so many years, that it doesn't matter what goes into our life, our result and our the way we respond to life, we're still worshiping him because he's good. We're still worshiping him because he deserves all the worship and honor. We still worship him because we know the truth. We still worship him because he has called us to that mountain to come again, to have that intimate relationship with him where he can speak to us and we can acknowledge him to be the Lord and Savior. But the story might not be for all the same. The story might be for some of us that the troubles, the sickness, the things that we are going through, the questions about our faith, the questions about Jesus Christ, the questions that we have in our hearts that nobody even knows. It leads us to a place to say, God, I'm alone. I'm alone. You see, he appeared to them and some recognized him and they worshiped as a result. But others, they doubted that it was him. They doubted. And sometimes in our journey, we can doubt, God, are you really here with me? Are you really walking with me? If you were here, like Martha said, if you were here, none of this would happen. Lazarus would not have died. And sometimes we feel like this in our life. God, if you would have been here, maybe I would not have lost my family. Only if you would have been here, that would not have lost my marriage. Only if you have been here, I would not have been lost my children. God, only if you have been appearing on time, and if only you have been here, I would not be dealing with the sickness. I would not be healing with this cancer. I would not be healing with depression. I would not be healing with trouble in my marriage. God, only if you have been here. And we begin to doubt because the troubles around us are overshadowing the truth that Jesus is with us. That Jesus is with us. We look at the things around us and we say, can God really be here? Because the circumstances would have been different. I expected things to be different. But He is with us, my brother, my sister. The Bible says that He will never leave us or forsake us. We will face tribulations. We will face troubles in our life. We will face sicknesses. We will face disappointments. We will face things in our life that will cause us sometimes to doubt if God is there. But that did not change the fact that He was there. That did not change the circumstances that He was there. And what amazes me in this story, that whenever when they saw Him, some worshiped Him, but some doubted. Jesus did not stop all of a sudden and began to rebuke those that doubted. It doesn't say that, but the very next words in verse 18 says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you sometimes. I am with you when? Always to the ends of the age. And it reminds to those people that were there as a result of recognizing His presence. And He's also reminding those that have doubted that He was there. And He says, listen, you still have the call of God upon your life. I'm still calling you to be the person that will share the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. I'm still calling you to be part of my team. I'm not casting you out, but you are in our midst. Even though you're going through moments of doubt, I still have a plan for you. And in this plan, I'm gonna remind you that I am with you always. I love that. Always, even in the moment of weakness, even in the moment when you're doubting that I am He who says that I am. Even in that moment, He says that I am with you. I am with you. Can you imagine Him being there in front of them and they doubted? How much more they could have doubted Him whenever when they saw Him just go up to heaven. That physical thing that even though they were doubting was at least in front of them. But now He says, I'm gonna send the power of the Holy Spirit that will dwell inside of you and they will lead you into all truth. They will remind you of my promises and it will be the seal that I am with you, that I will never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what me and you face in life. He is with us. He is with you, my brother, my sister. Don't doubt, but believe. It's better to believe than doubt, because doubt might lead us to a place where we will fall in despair. But faith will lead us out of the place of despair and putting our trust in God. Hallelujah. Don't doubt, but believe. And you see, I want to be part of that story that it says, whenever when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. They believed Him, they recognized Him, and they worshiped Him. And that's what we as a body are to do. When we come to the house of the Lord, when we're driving in the car, when we go to work, when we face different circumstances in our life, my heart and your heart should always be, God, I recognize your presence in my life. And even though I'm confused, even though all the things that I thought about you, it seems like they're gone and now you're gone. You're crucified. They killed you. But remember, He resurrected. He resurrected. And for that reason, we can worship Him. We can bow down before Him. We can have a song of praise in our mouth because He is true to His word. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. He is true to His word. Now, the same terminology, the same word, it's used about the story that I'm about to share that is written in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and down. The moment whenever when the disciples, Jesus sends them to go to take this boat and go to the other side of the sea. And now Jesus appears on the waters. And some of the disciples, they cried out and they did not recognize him at first. And some of them are saying, this is Jesus. And others are saying, no, this is a ghost. You see, again, it comes a moment where they're confused who is in front of them. They're coming to a place of some recognizing him, but the others thinking it's a ghost. But then it says, no, it's Lord. It's the Lord. It's our Savior. Can't you recognize him? Can't you see him? And then Peter, out of all the people, says, if it's you, then cause me to walk on water. If it's you, call me to come to you. And sometimes it's our journey in life that many of us, as other disciples, they recognized who was in front of them and they worshiped him. And some of us recognize who Jesus is in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of darkness. We recognize him and we can still say, it is him. It is him that I'm gonna follow. It is him. But some of us might say that, no, I don't see him here. I don't see him here. I think it's a ghost. And some of us might be like Peter, God, you have to prove yourself that this is you. You have to prove yourself that you are the real thing to me. And some of us are taking the step of faith when Jesus says, follow me. And he says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. In different words, do something supernatural. Do something extraordinary in my life. I know I have your word. I know that I'm coming to church. I hear the word of God being preached. I hear the singing. But I need something tangible now. I need something supernatural because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't want to misrecognize you. I want, if this is real, you call me to come. And Jesus says, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And this is where this verse also ties it up with the other passage that I just read to you. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt it? You see, we are prone to doubt. Even the disciples hanging out with Jesus at all times, they doubted. We as people are prone to doubt when storms come into our life. When the winds are hitting against us. When different news are coming against us that overwhelms us. And we feel like we're weak, we can't go forward. But Jesus is always there to help us. Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt it? You see, Jesus recognized that there was a faith in him. He did not say, you did not have faith at all. He says, oh, you have little faith. There was this little faith, but also the Bible says that if you have a faith like a mustard seed, like a little bit, now, because God lives inside of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say to the mountains of belief to be moved away, and those mountains shall be moved away. And through everything that we go in our life, Jesus is there. Verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat and the wind died down, those who were in the boat, what did they do? Worshipped him. Worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And he goes back again to the story that I just read, that some recognized him. And as a result, they worshipped him. And some doubted. And in the boat, there was a moment when the disciples were there. And those that were in the boat, they recognized Jesus. He said that this was Jesus. And maybe out of all the people, it was Peter that said, maybe this is a ghost. Because Peter fully did not recognize him. And he says, no, I need a sign. I need a sign. And I love that whenever when they came into the boat, the result of the presence of Jesus being with them in the storm caused them to worship him. It did not say that, why did you allow the storm? Why did you allow me to go to this journey in life? Why did you have taken my loved ones away? Even though those questions are real to us, even though they're very, very real into our hearts. But the result of a believer acknowledging that Jesus is always with us, doesn't matter what we go through, as a result, there is power in our hands to lift our hands to Him and worship Him. Our back binds and we fall before Him with our heads down and we worship Him because we acknowledge Him that He is with us in the middle of our storm. He's with us in the middle of trouble. He is with us in the middle of depression. He is with us in the middle of affliction. He is with us in the midst of our pain and sickness. God is with us. And as believers now, even though we're walking through pain, we have the power to still worship Him. Why do we worship Him? Because we can still see Jesus in the midst. Our pain and our troubles is not the absence of Jesus. But He is there all the time to help us come to the other side. To come through all of the obstacles that we face in life. And as a result, because He's with us, we worship Him. We worship Him. There are people that will see Him and worship Him. And there are also some that will doubt. Let me tell you that even though you might find yourself in a place of doubting, God is still calling you to be His disciple. He still has a mission for you and me. And He still reminds me and you that He is with us till the end of the ages. Praise be to God. And in my closing, I would like to read this scripture that so many of us can relate. It's about Thomas. And the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 24 and down. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called twin, was not with them when Jesus came. You see, he was not part of that group of people when Jesus came and appeared to them. So the other disciples told him, in different words, there is a testimony of other believers telling you what Jesus has done, that Jesus is with us, Jesus appeared. And this is the moment where they're telling the disciples, they're encouraging one another, and specifically, they're sharing this with Thomas. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. You see, again, Thomas has some similarities with Peter because the disciples that were in the boat, it was enough for them to be in a boat. They did not need something supernatural for them to know that there was Jesus. They recognized him, the Bible says. It was Jesus. But Peter says, no, no, no. If, say with me, if. If is you. If is you, then call me to come. And some of us, it represents us. And some of us, it's enough for us to know that Jesus is with me. It's a man, it's done deal, I'm good. And some of us, we fall like Peter. If, we say if, God, if. And now, there's Peter's twin, if I can put it that way. Thomas, listen, if I'm not gonna touch him, if he's not gonna appear, if I'm not gonna put my hand into his hands to see the nails, if I'm not gonna feel him, if he's not gonna be so tangible to me, it's not enough for him to be in my presence. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's not enough for him to just appear. I must touch him. And not just touch him because he can fake. Any man can appear, right? No, I must touch his hands to make sure that those hands have holes in them from the nails. I must touch his body because I might be confident that it was him. And this is what his reply was. But he said to them, unless I see him and I see his hands and the marks and the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. He could have said, I won't believe for now. But you see, his life depended and his future depended upon this moment that he was determined to say, if it doesn't happen now, I will never follow him. Can you imagine of a disciple that followed with Jesus so many times and seen miracles? He comes to a conclusion that now It's not enough just your presence, but I must have something tangible. If and I don't, I will never. My brother, my sister, sometimes in our life, we can feel like that. When we are facing moments like this, they were traumatic for the disciples. And all what the disciples had is the promises of the Lord and what Jesus has told them. What's going to happen before the cross? What's going to happen during the cross? And what's going to happen after the cross? And the disciples, they were very good at capturing the story before the cross and of the cross, even though sometimes they had a hard time capturing that. But after the cross, they had a hard time. They had a hard time. And this is what the Bible says now, verse 26. 8 days later, which means sometime later, these disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Why would you lock the doors? Why are you locking the doors wherever where you are? Maybe because of fear, maybe because of disappointment, maybe because you want to be alone. Maybe because you have been burned so many times that now you find yourself with your friends, that you're locking yourself away from everything that God has for you. But I love the story that Jesus did not say, well, you lock the door, you must open the door for me to come in. He says, no, I have the power to just appear. I have the power to just appear. And he says, they have locked the doors. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And I love this story because it began to speak to me that Jesus, when he comes into our rooms where we lock ourselves away from, in our confusion, in our pain, one of the first things he says, peace. I bring peace into this room. I bring peace. I'm the Prince of Peace. I bring peace over every circumstance, over every addiction, over every sickness that tries to come against you, over everything that you're facing, over every battle in your mind, over everything that overwhelms you, that you're finding yourself locked into the room, and maybe not a physical room, but in a room where your heart is, that you're not letting anything go out and anything come in. Jesus supernaturally appears and he says, peace, peace to you, peace to you, over every darkness, peace to you. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, out of all the people, there were more people there, but he talks to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve. Again, he comes back to those moments. Do not disbelieve, but what? Believe. Do not disbelieve, but what? Believe. My brother, my sister, this morning, I want to encourage you, do not disbelieve, but believe. Believe He's with you. Believe that He lives inside of you. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe that He is stronger than any pain in your life, any disappointment, any question that we might have about Him. He is stronger and He's above all of those things. Peace to you. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? And he continues, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. My brother, my sister, I think all of us fall in that picture. That so often in our life, we did not see him physically. But we have believed by the power of the Holy Spirit that he's with us in every season of our life. He's with us. And this is the conclusion in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book. Meaning there were so many other things that could have been written. And out of all the things, Jesus chose to write this story through the unction of the Holy Spirit through his disciples. That means capture this. That means pay a very, very close attention to the story. There were other stories that Jesus did miracles. Maybe the blind began to see, the sick were healed, and many, many stories that could have been written. And out of all the stories, the apostles are saying here, the apostle John now, he's saying out of all the stories, somehow God chose supernaturally for this story about Thomas to be written in the book of life. Why? And he continues, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these were written. Meaning, this one was written. Why? So that you and I may believe. Oh, he knew that me and you will acquaint ourselves with Peter. That me and you will have a lot of things in common with Thomas. And he says, I'm writing all of these things to you that you will face difficulties in your life. You will face moments in your life that you will be part of the disciples as followers of Jesus, that as a result, you will see me in your confusion and you'll worship, but also some will doubt. But he says that you and I may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the second thing is this, that by believing, now as a result of our faith in him, by believing, you may have life in his name. I love this. That not just believing, but having life in this faith. My brother, my sister, I don't know about you, but I want to have in my faith, I want to have life. Which tells me that there can be a faith that is very private and it's not very lively. But it says this story are written for you. For this reason, that you may believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that this faith in him will cause us, me and you, to have life. And as a result, as believers, when we have faith in him, and when we follow him, when we see him, this faith will produce life in us. And as a result of this life, me and you will worship him. We'll worship him. No longer will we come to a place to say, I doubt that you're with me. But we are going to go through a journey as a response through every obstacle in our life to say, God, I see you. I believe in you. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you're inside of me by faith. And now I believe in you. As a result of that, I have life, life in abundance. And for that reason, because I'm alive, I will worship you. Father, we're so grateful for your word that has power. God, I'm so grateful that you spoke to me through these passages and I couldn't shake it away, Lord, but this thought that some believed but also others doubted. Help us as a church to always believe. Help us as a church to see you through every season in our life. Help us as a body that even though we will doubt from time to time, God, I pray that you would show up in a tangible way, that you will speak through our brothers and sisters. God Almighty, I pray that you would help us. Help us, O Lord, for the journey that we're on, not to grow bitter and sour, but help us to be honest and open with you because that's what you require from us. In the middle of our struggles, to still open our mouth and to say, God, there are moments I doubt that you're with me. There are moments I doubt that you're leading me. That doesn't change the fact that you are with us, because in those moments, you're still going to remind us that you have a call upon our lives and that you are with us in the ends of the earth. God, we're so grateful for the promise and for your word that promises us that in our suffering, in our confusion, in our problems, you are with us. God, we thank you that often we relate ourselves to Peter and Thomas and you don't despise us. You still love us. And you said that you're with us. God, I pray in this service this morning, if there are people, you know why you've placed this word upon my heart. There's people in this room that are doubting. They can't even worship. They can't even see you. They doubt you. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to choose to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I was doing a little study on this passage about the disciples that doubted, and some suggest that this group of disciples that doubted, one of the things why they might have doubted Christ is because of their experience in the past was so intimate and they felt almost betrayed of Jesus going to the cross and dying. And now he's resurrected. And they went through that pain of feeling that they were betrayed, they were alone. And now they're doubting, not because they fully cannot recognize or comprehend that it's Jesus in front of them, but they had a hard time trusting him again that he's the one they said he is. They had a hard time comprehending that if I fully embrace you now and worship you now, are you sure you're not gonna turn again and disappear? And they were going through these moments of questions and answers. But it's a beautiful thing, as I said, that Jesus did not turn them away. But as the same words came to the disciples that worshiped him, the same words came to the other disciples that doubted him, that go and preach this gospel and remember that I am with you. God is with you. If you have been in a place of doubting in your life, if you have been in a place of not having the strength and the power to lift your hands to the Lord and worship him, maybe this morning can be a morning where you can come here up front and say, God, I choose this morning to believe through every ounce of strength that I have. I stand upon your word and I'm gonna lift my hands to you and I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna worship you. I'm not gonna ask you things. I'm not gonna ask you to change my circumstances, but I'm gonna ask you to remind me that I'm not alone, but you're with me. And listen, if you come to that conclusion of truth, I'm telling you, your circumstances will change. Not outwardly, but inwardly. Our approach will change because when God is with us and we capture that truth, we will overcome. We can go through anything. And I mean that. We can go through anything. It doesn't mean it will be easy, but it means it will be possible. Are you part of the group? Am I part of the group often in my life that I'm doubting? God promised us that he's with us. And my desire is that in your doubts, that you will join the group of those that are worshiping. Because it's all of us. It's the body. It's the body. Amen? It's the body. Would you stand with me? And as I shared in the beginning, that the house of God should be the safest place, the most sacred place for me and you to be ourselves and to be open to the Lord before him. Who cares what people think about you? It's you and the Lord, amen? It's you and the Lord. And now I want you to be reminded that we are the body of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry that sometimes I'm supposed to represent Jesus, and you might look at some of your friends that call themselves Christians and you say, I don't recognize him and I doubt. But give us grace because we'll grow together. We'll move together because we are one body. We are one body. Amen? And sometimes we need, not sometimes, all the time, we need each other to walk together because we are one body. And if this is you, would you come join me here very quickly? Come, we're going to be singing in a moment. But if this is you, that you're saying, I'm in a place of going through moments in life that sometimes I doubt. I want to be in a place where I always, always can come out of the doubting to lift my hands to you and worship because he's true to his word. Amen? So if this is you, come join me here up front and we're going to be praying in a moment.